Turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs and the second chapter. If you would stand for the reading of the word. In a sense, we're going to be referring to the entire chapter. We're really just going to look through verses 1 through 5 in detail. And we'll call today's message, How Bad Do You Want It? How bad do you want it? Proverbs 2, verse 1 through 5. And when it says, my son, it means Christians. Don't choke on the hors d'oeuvres, as it were. It means children of God. Proverbs 2, hear his voice. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I beg you to open up your word and pour out an abundance of treasure upon us of yourself. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. How many people think God wants to show them how to live a good life, a godly life? Can I get some hands? People believe God wants you to have a good life. He does. And that is defined by, you know, a godly life. Let's do that again. How many people? That everybody's paying attention should you have your hand up. Yeah, that's what people know that. Now, how many would say, I want wisdom? Can anybody say that? I want wisdom. Just say it. I want wisdom. How many would say, I want discernment? I want discernment. I mean, we're out buying new cars this week because we got, you know, my wife got in an accident. It wasn't her fault, and we're dealing with the insurance adjusters and all that, and we need discernment on what's the real offer and what are we going to be able to get because we just bought a car, now we got to buy another one. Who's lying to you? Who's playing games? Who's being serious with you? Et cetera, et cetera. So many things in life. We need discernment. And discernment many times is not just between the good and the bad, but from the good and the best. Okay? So I want wisdom. I want discernment. In other words, who wants to know what is the right path and what's the wrong path, right? Who wants to know who's telling the truth and who is lying? I do. Who wants to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and if you shouldn't do it? Amen? Who wants to finally overcome that persistent sin in their life? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. I want the other person to overcome it too. Yeah, of course. You know what? God wants all those things for you too. And this passage tells you how you can get them all. It really does. And it all comes down to this. Who wants to know God? Does anybody want to know God?
Yes.
You see, there's a price though. I'm certain you've said it or heard it said, I want to know the will of God. This is counseling all the time. People come, I want to know the will of God. And it comes down to this. You can give them the will of God, the wisdom of God, out of the Word of God, but unless it becomes their own, it's not going to really help them. And it comes down to information or rebellion. Eventually, you know, you tell people over and over again, but if they keep rebelling, there's no reason to keep going on, right? You know the definition of insanity, keep doing the same thing the way you've always done it and hoping to get a different result. But we say it all the time, I want to know the will of God. I've said it. But the question is, are you willing to do what it takes? What God says it takes to find the answers. And that's the challenge today. The title is, How Bad Do You Want It? Now, this isn't simply a search for information. Some people want to know the will of God, but not in order to do it or to pursue the knowledge of God and the fear of the Lord. Look at verse 5 there. But their real goal is just their own comfort and satisfaction. I want to know the will of God so that I don't get in trouble. And I don't mean trouble with God, so that I can just, you know, live an easier life. And of course, if you don't drink and drive, you're going to have a much easier life than if, right? Okay. But people, many times, their real goal is just their own comfort and satisfaction. And they might find it, but they won't find God. But even, I'm coining a phrase here, comfort level Christians will seek God eventually. Because God's going to put them in a place where only He can help. Right? We see that throughout the Scriptures. Now, look at this. Let's read it together. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then. If, then. Notice all the ifs. And notice the actions it takes you to do the ifs. It tells you if you're doing the ifs or not. If you receive my words. If you treasure up my commandments. If you really make your ear attentive. There's something there we'll get to. If you incline your heart, upward tilt, incline your heart to understanding. If you call out for insight, what does a baby do? Ow, boo-boo, I heard, wah! What does your husband do? Wow, I heard, boo-boo, wah! If you call out, if you raise your voice for understanding, I want to know how to do, I just don't understand how to use this tool, I've cried out many thousands of times. If you seek it like silver, wait till we get to that. If you search for it as hidden treasure, you have the map. You know the treasure's there. You're digging. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. You know it's there. If you look for it like that, then. It's only when you do the ifs that the then happens. If you want wisdom, if you want discernment, if you want to stay on the right road, if you want to be able to tell who's lying to you, if you want to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and whether you should do it, if you want to finally overcome that persistent sin in your life, if you want to know God's will, and if you want to know God, then you will, look at verse 5, you'll have to understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If you want those things in your life fully, all the time, not just in that moment that you really need it, please seek God when you really need it, but when you begin to understand you always need him and you're always searching and you're always digging, you always have that cap on, that miner's cap, and that spade, right? And those, I don't care if I get dirty and sweaty and messy, I'm always digging for treasure because it's never ending. When it becomes like that, that's when you understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. To do that, you're going to have to do what this passage teaches you. So what that means is that if you want to give God your ifs, if you want God to give you your ifs, you got to give him his ifs. Right? I want this. If please. I do want discernment. If I want wisdom, I do want wisdom. You've got to give him his ifs. The text shows you that actually engaging the Word of God and actually hearing his voice in the Bible involves action. And it involves every part of you. Listen to me. It's a spiritual quest. But how is it described here? In very physical terms. Like using your ears, using your mouth, using your eyes, using your hands. This isn't just flowery language. This is fierce language. Fierce, tenacity, integrity. We hid all that money around the sanctuary today, and you know, if people really needed it, man, they would be going after it. Again, if I'd put the keys to a new car in the title, and it was this, you know, incredible Bugatti Veyron, however you say that, you know, if it was the truck, if it was exactly what you needed, man, you would be all about that thing. You see, we've got to convince ourselves this is what God's wisdom is really like, and it's only found in one source, and that's his voice, and his voice is in his word. And you wonder why, it just never seems to click for me. I never seem to get on fire for this, or I die out so often, or I'm just so wishy-washy, or I never seem to be able to do this. Can I really do this? Is there something? Yes, there is, but you have to do it the way he tells you to. I'm not trying to make you feel bad at all if you haven't done it. I'm trying to say, you stinker, you haven't done it, you don't really love God. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, here's the map. There's plenty of treasure to go around. But how bad do you want it? When we look at this language, you're going to go, oh, excuse me. But all you have to do, I don't have to give you an illustration, just think in your own mind. Okay. Men, when you were younger and you were pursuing a certain someone, you found out what she liked. What classes she had, what was her favorite color. If you were me, you went way, way, way too far. Right? It was all smotheroony. No one else is getting this one. This one's mine. Or boys, even today, you want that video game, Call of Duty 5000, PS2s, whatever. And you want it. and you see it, you know exactly where. Dad, it's over here, it's over here. It costs $13.95, and then you do this, and then, right? You'd be apoplectic about the whole thing. This is what you need to be about God's Word, because it will yield to you. Why does it seem to yield to you sometimes and not others? Why does sometimes it just pop out at you? And sometimes it's just like, Dad. Because sometimes the treasure is right there, sometimes it's under, beneath what seems to be the dry and dusty surface. Anybody with me? Again, it's very vivid and it's very instructive. This is telling you, this text is telling you that it will be hard work. But here's the thing. It can be done no matter your age or your intellect. It doesn't matter if you're 6 or 106. If you can understand, you say, I don't read very well. That's okay. Right? I can't keep thoughts together. That's okay. I'm a visual learner. I'm not a visual learner. Whatever. I always hear those excuses. I'm telling you, it does not depend on that. It depends on your heart, and there's things that you can do to engage that, and God will respond. But we don't believe it. You know, they all gave excuses to Jesus in that parable. I can't come to the feast because of this. I can't come to feast because of this. I can't come to feast because of this. They were all lying. The truth is, they just weren't hungry. How bad do you want it? Do you want to be able to look in this? You have a problem. I don't know this situation. I don't know what to do. God, help me. And sometimes there's not just this verse. Stop that. I just need a verse. Stop it. The devil knows more Bible than you do. It's not the verse. It's the wisdom that you want. Sometimes there's not an exact do this, do this, do this, do this. So you can check off that box and leave God alone. How much am I supposed to give? So you can just check off that box and leave God alone. If you don't go all in, you're not going to get it all. How much do you want? How bad do you want it? Do you want to just stay at comfort level? Get just enough God so you can live that upper middle class life or lower middle class life or just some kind of life. Lord, help me get out of this ditch. Now give me back the shovel. But I'm not just trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to make you feel good. You can see the thing that has caused you to be down and you can look up. Again, no matter your age, no matter your intellect, it's not a matter of your intellect or your education. Because this is not simply informational knowledge, it's relational knowledge. This isn't simply about what you know, it's about who you know. Remember when we were looking at the money this morning and we hid it all around? You know, I didn't know where it was hid because I told someone else to hide it, but all I had to do to find it was go to the person who knew. Who has wisdom? We sang about it lots this morning. God providentially, right? He, all honor, all wisdom are yours, right? He's the one. His word is where it is. You're saying, I already know this stuff. Wait a minute, though. How many of your kids know something, but they don't know something? Right? Oh, yeah. No, I know, but they don't clean the room and they ain't going to Disney World. Do not pass go, do not collect $200. You know what I'm saying. This is going to take all of you. You see, this is the test for those who are serious and those who just want the conclusion without the exertion. Just give me the answer. Just give me the bottom line. I just want the conclusion. You know, sometimes the answer key is wrong. You know why? Because you could tell someone that the sun is 93 million miles away from the earth, but you couldn't figure out the planets or anything else like that unless you knew how to. So just having the answer isn't enough. People just tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do. I just told you what to do. Get serious. Many people haven't wised up yet. They're foolish because they just want God to zap the sin out of them and put the purity in them simply because they asked for it. Now, asking for it is a big part of it. Yes, it's part of it. You'll see it here in verse 3. But, you've heard me say this before, and you haven't heard me say it, here it comes. The best prayers have legs. And this passage shows you that. Ears and eyes and mouth and nose and the whole deal. Engages everything. This passage teaches you that. You might be human like me, though, and you protest. You protest at times because how God promises to give you what you ask for, but it only comes through persistent struggle. Let me say that again. Let me just walk among you and tell you that and look you in the eye. I know that it is tough. I know that God promises you and you think, I don't get what he promises me, but here's the deal. You only get it through persistent struggle. And here's the deal with that. People think, well, that doesn't sound like a gift. But it is a gift because we're talking about supernatural wisdom and instruction and the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. That's supernatural stuff. So it is grace. And grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to merit. You don't earn that stuff. You don't deserve that stuff. But you get that stuff by working for it. It's not your works that save you, but your works, because you're saved, do put you in the place under the fountain where God can pour out his wisdom on you. Do you hear me? Now let me just read it off the paper and say it all over again. You might protest at times because God promises to give you what you ask for, but it only comes through persistent struggle. Doesn't feel like a gift if you have to work hard at it. But again, what you're getting is a supernatural knowledge and wisdom of God. It's something beyond you, and it isn't something you can earn. So it is a gift of God's grace. And grace is opposed to merit, not effort. It's going to take a lot of effort, but it's worth it. That's part of why we do church, is remind each other that it's worth it. You say, oh, but I'm in constant pain and I can't get over it. It's still worth it. You know, you've got it good and I don't. It's still worth it. No one seems to be following along with me. Though none go with me, still I will follow, right? No turning back. This passage gives you a picture, gives you pictures of what the search looks like. And these pictures speak of integrity, a singular focus, and tenacity. That's how the wise person goes about their spiritual business. And all the effort to know him is worth it because you're a different person for having known him. That's what you want about your walk with Christ, is that when people are around you, are they better off spiritually having been with you? That'll tell you. Are people better off spiritually having been with you? When you are actually around God, you will change. Remember the 12 and the 11, and they were like, who are these men, these unlearned men? They knew that they had been with Jesus, right? That people know you've been with Jesus, not just because you go, oh, Jesus, yay! I mean, some of that, okay, fine, fine. But when you're in the community, you're in your vocation, and you're not just acting all wild-eyed, but you have that calm confidence about you that when all else gives way, you have a solid rock to stand on. When everything is dark, who do they look for? The one with the light. Are you that light? How bad do you want it? You say, well, I don't do very well in talking situations to just come up to people and cold call, talk to them about Jesus. You won't have to. You live for Jesus, really, and you stay like a solid rock, and you have his wisdom. They will ask you why you're different. When it says, always be ready to give a hope, reason for the hope that lies within you, gentleness and respect, right? It says, honor the Lord, and your heart is holy first. Right? You want this thing bad, it's going to show. If all I ever wore was gator jerseys and gator underwear and gator socks and gator shoes and gator this and gator that, you might think I like the Gators. You might think I like the Gators! To our Florida State fan with two children at Florida State. But you might think she likes Florida State. Right? You might think that. Why? Because that's what's going on. If I wore a Riverside shirt, right, you'd say, well, he likes Riverside. Right? We have some friends that are here today and might be gone tomorrow, and they're going to be wearing things that say Hawaii. Woohoo! Yeah, Hawaii. The big kahuna. Oh, I mean, they'd be all. Why? Because that's what you're about. You see, when you're about Jesus, it shows. And not just because you wear some sticker or some necklace. Although, always use that as a witnessing opportunity. If someone's wearing a cross, say, I like that piece of jewelry, what does it mean to you? Most of the time you'll hear, my grandmother gave it to me, and it's just nice. But at least you have a lead in. You might, you know, just put a rock in someone's shoe. Right? Anybody hearing me? Again, it's worth it because you're a different person for having known him. And the more you know him, the more you'll love him. And the more you'll be like him. And the more you'll work at it like seeking an endless treasure. And the treasure keeps paying off. There's a lot more positive effects of this effort. And verses 6 through 22 tell you a lot of things. Let me just summarize them for you. You'll be guarded, guided, and gifted. You hear me say that a lot. I find it in this passage. And you'll be delivered from those temptations that ensnare the foolish, like women you should not be looking at. How do you get? You've got to do this ahead of time, and you've got to want it, and you've got to want it bad, and that's how your life has changed. How bad do you want it? So now let's actually look at the verses. Let's look at what God says about the kind of integrity and tenacity it takes. I just need to go there. Come on, guys. Come on. You get that 1960 Buick, and you want to get it all restored. You're searching everywhere for those original parts. If there's one little scratch on it, someone's getting in trouble. Right? I'm not putting this kit car together. I want a real car. Ladies. Right? My wife now, we're searching for new cars, and my car has these alloy wheels. So now she is very averse to these plastic covers. She's like, she kicks it. She says, this isn't real. No way. Not this car. I want those metal wheels. Because you get used to it. When you get used to knowing God, you won't settle for anything less. I know. You say, you don't do it perfectly? No. He doesn't say doing it perfectly here. It's never about how well, it's about how willing. Watch that here. Because again, we think, well, you're smarter. You have more time to do this. You've been doing it longer. It's not the question. Not the question. Not the question at all. But let's look at it. Anybody with me? Look at verse 1. It says, my son. This is for Christians. See, Christians can be saved and not be wise. But only Christians can truly know God. But they must hear God's word like a son who is intent on listening to and obeying his father. I remember when I got my first motorcycle and I was 11 years old. I just turned 11. And I'd been bragging out in the street that, you know, because all the kids had motorcycles. And I was, my father's going to get me a motorcycle. I didn't know. He must have heard me because I got a motorcycle the next day. Isn't that cool? So I got into that prosperity gospel thing right away. I also want a car. Didn't quite work out that way. But I was like, okay, now I've got a show. Now I didn't know what I was doing. I was 10 years old, 11 years old. But it was like, now what do I do? And I was like, okay. No, Dad, I don't want to wear elbow pads and stuff like that. The kids and all that. Do I have to wear a helmet? You know, what do I do? Okay, you know, with the clutch, you know what I'm saying? I was sure pop the wheelie. Wham! Broke my collarbone the first day, by the way. But then I was tenacious. Mom, no, Mom, I can't play baseball this season. But no, please don't sell the bike. Don't sell the bike. And she didn't. And we had bikes all the way through. Right? I was tenacious about it. Oh, okay. You know, again, I'm sorry I'm stuck in the 70s, but I grew up in the 70s. And I remember when leather topsiders first came out, you know, the high tops, right? And there were certain kinds that were, you know, you got it at the cheaper store. And there's certain that, oh, please, all the kids have it. I want to have it. I want to have it. And, you know, 5 minutes later, please, I want to have it. I want to have it. I'll do my chores. I'll be good. I'll get an A. You got an A last week. I'll get an A plus. You wouldn't give it up. What do you want for Christmas? I want those shoes. What do you want for birthday? I want those shoes. What do you want for today? Ice cream? No, I want the shoes. Right? You're tenacious. Come on, kids. Everybody, it doesn't matter what it is today, everybody's tenacious. I want my cell phone. I want a cell phone. I'm 6 years old. I got to have a cell phone. I was talking to two young ladies that I love very much, and I was talking to one of them this week, and I was like, okay, you know, you're getting older, this, that, and your thing, and soon it's going to be a car, and the other one pipes up, I'm a year older, almost 2 years older, and I don't have a car yet, and I don't have my license yet, and ain't no way till I get mine. And the family's laughing right now. But yeah. But that's it. You're tenacious. I mean, I know how I would be. If it was 1 year, 1 day, 6 hours, 3 minutes, 2 seconds, as soon as that clock strikes, I get my car. That's not fair. Tenacious. You get the point I'm making? Tenacious. Integrity. Single focus. Tenacious. There's a treasure out there. Dig, 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 dig. It will be worth it. How bad do you want it? My son. Yes, Dad. Ooh, he's going to give me that motorcycle. Ooh, I'm going to get his car. Ooh, he's going to be gone for the weekend. I've had a party. Oh, sorry. Right? How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? As soon as he says, my son, he's speaking to you. If you receive my words, the wisdom of God is found in the Word of God. But receiving God's words means more than just finding verses. Hear me clearly. I've got to teach you this. You've got to learn this. It's more than just finding verses. It means finding and living in wisdom. See, lots of people know more Bible than you. Take the devil, for instance. He's memorized the whole Bible, I guarantee you. Psalm 119:30 says, the unfolding of your words gives light. Don't you like it? I love it. The best thing as a pastor is when you're studying and you're doing your Greek and you're doing Hebrew, you're doing this, and boom, it just comes out leaping out at you. It yields. The text yields. I love that. You know, some thought gets in your head, and you study the thought, and then, boom, thoughts swarm like bees, and you're ready to preach, baby. Then the problem is you overdevelop it too much. That's called teaching. That doesn't mean to overdevelop. Teaching is filling in the blanks. Preaching is just the outline. What I'm doing today is not really teaching you. I'm preaching to you. I'm saying, how bad do you want it? One point. The unfolding of your words gives light, but you have to walk in that light. Sometimes, you know, someone can send you a check for $1 million in the mail, but if you never get it, if you never receive it, you can't spend any of the money, right? It's not the hearers of the word, but the doers of the word that will be blessed. The question again is, how bad do you want it? Now look what it says. If you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you. This is a beautiful picture. This is about wrapping your heart around those words. You're treasuring them up. If there was those little pills that you could eat whatever you want to for a day, and there was about 100 of them here, I'd be looking for them, and it's like, I don't know, where are they? Huh? I don't know. I'd be walking out here with pockets full like this. I'm sick, I'm swelling, I'm fat, I don't, right? You'd be storing them up. You'd be treasuring them up. Mary treasured the words of the angel. She knew. Treasure. God's word comes into your mind, yes. But if your heart doesn't engage them, like hiding a treasure, it's only going to be knowledge, not wisdom. Psalm 119:11, you know it. I've stored your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Unless you develop and maintain a love for the word of God, unless it gets into your heart and changes you, you're going to see it as the problem. Did you hear me? People see the word of God as the problem. Most of the time they're called not Christians. You got to fully believe and trust the word of God is indeed the word of God, the revelation of God. You have to learn to see the culture through the lens of Scripture instead of seeing Scripture through the lens of culture. Otherwise, you're going to see the word of God as the problem and its views as hateful instead of holy. You're going to say, I can't believe. God obviously wants people to be connected. I wouldn't have these desires if God didn't give them to me. Liar. That's not what the word of God says. I've got all kinds of desires that are ungodly, but you mortify those things. And by the way, it's not just that you act on those desires, it's you think them. It's called concupiscence. It's evil desire. It's wrong to even think it. Jesus said so in the Sermon on the Mount. Doesn't mean go do it. It means it's evil to even think of it. So these people say, well, I'm born this way and I can't change that, so I'm not going to... Really? Is that going against what the Bible says? Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me? Yes. QED, end of story. It means the argument's over. God has spoken. But people see God as the problem. God and his word is the problem because they view it as hateful instead of holy because they really haven't gotten down in there and let it speak to them. Is God opening up his word to you something that you treasure? How bad do you want it? It's not that I know more verses than you. It's that I'm skilled in it, that I know what to use, when to use it, because it's living in me. Like our friend Mike will say, okay, what's stirring you up? Are you saved today? Are you this, that? And I'll speak something that's going on to me. Like he said something yesterday to me, and he says, brain neuroplasticity. Right? And you think, what was going on in his head? Well, he's reading articles about how you can change over time and how your brain can be retrained. And of course, Jesus said it a long time ago. The Bible said it a long time ago. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. But now you start to really see, you know, science proves the Bible. Oops. Right? But what's the lens you're looking at? How bad do you want it? People are going to try to tell you all the time, oh, the Bible, ancient Near Eastern literature written by all these people, these dumb people, and you know, it's, oh, come on, superstitions, a whale ate somebody, a donkey talked, the sun stood still, where did Adam's navel come from? All this silliness that they've been doing all the time, but sin, righteousness, and judgment are still the same. There's one author, but 41 writers. Over 1,600 years, 3 continents, 3 languages, and it says the same thing over and over and over again. You tell me. How bad do you want it? People want to disbelieve it. You want to disbelieve something, you'll find a reason. You want to believe something, you'll find a reason. Remember, passion finds a way. Passive finds an excuse. Look what it says now in verse 2. Making your ear attentive to wisdom. Think about how you would strain. Like if your child is up there singing. Or let's see, today there was some family children up here playing trumpet and playing flute. And you might have been listening intently for what they sounded like. Why? Because they're your child. right? You inclined your ears. You trained your ears. There's a friend of mine that's here now, and I was talking to him about singing last week, and he said, "You remember me. I'm the one with the voice way down here." And it's true. And so if he's up there singing, I hear that voice because I know. And I'm saying, "How's he doing today?" Or there's one female that was up here today, and she, in a certain song, she just belted out, man. And she was doing it again today. And it was beautiful, but my ear was inclined to hear that. I thought, she's up there today. They're playing this song today. I wonder if I'll hear her hit that note. And sure enough, I did. Think about it. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Think about when you're hearing a song and you're in it, the radio's starting to go out because you're starting to go into a place where you don't have good reception, and it's Stairway to Heaven, and, or you know how I do it every week. Don't stop believing, and you're turning it up. You can sing along with it and finish it even though you can't hear it perfectly. Why? Because you're straining your ear. You're inclining your ear to hear that. You don't want to hear no country song. You want to hear the Rolling Stones. Alan Jackson, anyway. Sorry. I just get like that. See, that's it. You can find the wisdom of God all over the place if you're listening for it. What are you listening for? A reason to be offended? An excuse to be lazy? A way out of obedience? Are you listening for the praise of people? The affirmation of the culture? The word of worldly success? Do you know more TED Talks than you do Bible? Didn't say TED Talks are bad. They can be fine. Some of them ain't fine. But they can help sharpen you if you see them in the light of the Word of God. But what's your filter? But this successful guy, my successful guy, owns the universe, runs the universe, sustains the universe, and will judge the universe, and will renew the universe, and I'm going to be part of that and own it too. Who tell me who's wise then? Yeah. You have to train your ear to be sensitive to the voice of wisdom and desensitize it to the ways of the world. How bad do you want it? Right? The conductor. Right? He's up there and all that. He's listening for how they do it. And he moves his hands depending on how he wants. Shut that off. Do that more staccato. Right? Whatever it is. The conductor isn't just up there dancing. He's doing something vital. And he has to be listening for each section. Okay, right now, here's the section where the singers come in. He moves his hand to the back. This is the section where, you know, boom, 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 dun, 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 boom, 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 dun, dun. For you that know the ninth. And, you know, points right to them. The basses are playing. He points to them, right? He's paying attention. His ear is expertly attuned to the music. We can hear music up today, and we have a fine piano player playing today, and he's good, but someone that's trained might have said, when he plays dun, 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 dun. He didn't reach the other finger. Maybe he did, and I'm just making him feel bad. But are you listening for offense? Right? Are you listening, saying, he's just making an illustration, and I can take it because I have tender heart and thick skin, not a hard heart and thin skin. How does that happen? How can that develop in you? How bad do you want it? Incline your ear. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Now, what does it say? Incline your heart to understanding. Upward tilt. Incline. You guys know incline bench. Oh, right? Incline. You're pushing your treasure box up to the fountain. You're stretching to reach the place where the wisdom comes flowing out. If it was the money spigot. Here's the money spigot. And it's 9 feet up in the air. And you're 6 feet tall and I'm 5 feet tall. But I'm jumping up on your shoulders and putting my box up there before you. And then, of course, you go out from under me, and I'm going to fall, and I grab hold of it and just hold on tenaciously. I may die when I fall down, but I'm going to die a rich man. Man, these things are good, I thought. I don't know. How bad do I want it? I'm going to keep searching for the right illustration until you get it. Again, imagine the thing you want most. Don't be superstitious. Don't be spiritual and all that. Just think. I want a new car right now. I want myself to feel better. I want this. I want that. And it was sitting there at the end of this hook over here, 8 feet up in the air. There's a chair right there. There's somebody else. You know, you say, I'll lift you up, little JoJo. You know, I'll put somebody up, Reese. I'll just throw you up there and you get it. Yeah, just give me half. Right? That's what you would do. That's what you would do. What would you do for what you really want? Anything, and you know it. You would incline your ear. You would make your ear attentive. I'm listening for that one car. Right? I'm looking for that one car that I can get. I'm looking for that one break, that one job. Think of how you stand on something to get to something else. How bad do you want it? Look at verse 3. He says, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. Think of how you don't stay silent in the face of injustice to loved ones. You don't even stay silent if they don't bring your food on time or charge you too much. I didn't stay silent when I thought they were, you know, ripping me off when I said, okay, take this part of the fee out, then they come back and lower the price here, and that fee came back all of a sudden. Like, I can't do math. My wife's an accountant. She's like, what are we doing here? I did not remain silent. I got my booty up, I turned it around, and I started walking. And then, of course, all of a sudden, the numbers magically changed. The non-negotiable numbers actually changed. Incredible. How bad do you want it? If you seek it like silver, singular focus that sees through distractions. Don't you want that? That's what you want with wisdom and prudence. Prudence is the timing of wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge is what to do. Wisdom is how to do it. Prudence is when to do it. Okay? So you're in a cave and it's dark and you can see all this other stuff. Little writings on the wall. I love Sebastian, right? Little writings on the wall. Marty and Lisa forever. Writings on the wall. Mike always weird. Writings on the wall. Right? He's lovely. Well, peculiar people. I just identified him as a Christian in case you don't realize it. So here's the deal. You're walking through that cave. You've got that light on, but you know what silver looks like. And when you see that little sliver, okay, I'll buy this cave. Right? That little drop of oil. Right? I remember one time, I don't know why I'm giving this example, but I was with my friend Dan, and he was in his car, and he's an AC guy, and he does all kinds of other stuff and all that, and there was some kind of contraption that got off his car, and it produced electricity, and it was free. He goes, JD, free electricity! I'm like, I don't care about this little Casio box or whatever. He's like, but free electricity! And it was like the greatest thing that ever happened to him. You see, when you find that silver, when you're poor, you're dirty, you're sweaty, you're going through these long hours, but you seek it like silver, and when you find it. Anybody ever see, well, here I really go now, Treasure of the Sierra Madre? You know, with Humphrey Bogart and all that? And he went nuts! They all went nuts, right? Because what? They got gold fever. This is what God is saying to you. You need silver fever. You seek it like you would silver. You don't seek silver, you don't need it. Right? But if it's precious, if you hold it as precious, then you go after it. You go after it. You seek it like silver. That's what he's saying. It's only going to yield itself if you seek it like that. Well, no wonder then. Yes. But no wonder I'm trying to encourage you, and the Lord is trying to encourage you. How bad do you want it? Singular focus that sees through distractions. You keep your eyes on the prize. You don't think, well, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. No, I'm looking for silver, and I'm going to find it because I know it's here somewhere. You have a steely determination. Again, how bad do you want it? It says, and search for it as hidden treasure. Not as a treasure that you won't find, it's just hidden. Today, you knew when I put all that money out there that it was there somewhere, but it was hidden. But those kids that really wanted it, those people, they started looking for it. If it became harder and harder, but you knew it was, and it was something that was valuable to it. That's the point. You hold it as value. There's an overwhelming passion that energizes you to the maximum. Nothing stops the dig. Right? You've heard the old joke. There's this great big pile of manure. And this kid, very positive kid, is in that manure and he's going, digging like crazy. Like, you're crazy, what are you doing? He goes, with all this manure, there's a horse in there somewhere. See, God has told you the fear of the Lord. We don't even know what that is. I'll talk to you about that in a minute. The fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God, knowing what God knows and knowing God himself. I don't just find some of the money. I know the one who has it. I know the one who's put it in certain places for us to find. But he wants us to give our whole heart, and it is worth it. You dig for it, search for it as a hidden treasure. You have an excited attitude. You're positive about it. It's an overwhelming passion. You're down. You're like, oh, I'm so tired of digging today, but I'm sleeping right here because I ain't leaving this pile. Got treasure in here. You go to bed with the Bible. You wake up with the Bible. You're thinking about the Bible. Yes, you revolve your life around Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the people of God, the Spirit of God. Yes. That's what it means. You move. Come on. Gold Rush, what did they do? They all moved out there. They staked their claim. Are you going to stake your claim to the Word of God? Not making stuff up. People make up promises all the time. I know the hope, the plans I have to give you hope in the future. We're going to talk about that in a second. After he crushed them, that's why they saw it for their whole heart. Is God, how far does God have to crush you before Jesus comes out? Oh my. He says, then, all these ifs, all this searching, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then and only then. Because the only way to get wisdom, the wisdom of God, is to seek it from God. How bad do you want it? Now look at this text carefully. And I said it before, and let me say it again. You'll notice that it's not about how well you do it, but how willing you are. You notice that? It says, if you seek with it, it just that talks about your willingness. It doesn't say, if you do it with exact precision, you have the exact right instruments. No, it's about finding those things by being willing to do the searching. Truly seeking wisdom means going all out. You can't go all out unless you're all in. All your chips in the middle of the table, all your eggs in one basket, everything riding on one shot. It's not that you're going to have to struggle to live while you're seeking God, but would you be willing to? The answer is provided in the tests along the way, and I failed too many of them. But if you're willing to put even good things aside for the Lord, then you'll learn to trust and treasure Him above all else. Sometimes you realize God's all you need when God's all you have. Otherwise, the obstacles along the way are going to stop you in your tracks. And your walk is only going to be talk at that point. Your direction always determines where you end up. And it isn't your decision to start, it's your determination to stay the course that matters in the long run. Because today we could talk about this, and I could have everybody come up and say, you know, I want it bad, and pray and do all this stuff, and that might be nice, but what happens when you walk out the door? What happens next day, next week, next year? Well, part of that is coming to church, man, get yourself filled up again. Keep reading the Word of God for yourself every day and meet with His people. I don't need it. When people say that, they're revealing more than they realize. I don't need church. What do you think you're saying? You don't want it that bad. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Look at verse 1. If you're saved and if you're serious, if you're ready to wrap your heart around God's words. Verse 2, if you're single-eared, if your heart is bent toward the truth, if you're prepared like it's important to you. Verse 3, if you're single-voiced, if you pray like it's your primary need. Verse 4, if you're single-sighted, single-purpose, and seek it like it's precious to you. In other words, with passion, if you're single-minded, is what he's saying. The man who is double-minded is unstable in all his ways. But the single-minded man will find wisdom. That's James 1, 5, 6, basically. If you go after it with everything you got, you will get it. Isn't that a great promise? If you do these things, you will find what you're looking for. You will find the answer that you need. It may not be the answer you want, but it will become the answer you want because you'll find Him in it, and we want to be where He is. We sang it today. Grace is the place where He is, and where He is, I am free. I'm free from these burdens that I'm putting on myself. I'm free from these burdens of wondering what other people think about me. I'm free of I have to prove myself this way or I have to redo this or do that. No. I know God. Because searching for God in that way is what wisdom's all about in the first place. You see, he's turning you into what you're doing by struggling in the first place. You'll know what God wants you to know, and you'll know God. God blesses wholeheartedness. I have a few verses here. You see it all over the place. Psalm 119:2, blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with half their heart, with three-quarters of their heart, with their whole heart. Does that mean everything they do all the time? No. Think about it in human terms. This is why He uses those pictures. It's very helpful to you to understand. When He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, that's one thing. But when He says, seek Him with the whole heart, you know, no one was like David who sought me with his whole heart. He did some bad things. It means his primary devotion, the thing that riveted him, the thing that got him to have integrity and have tenacity was God. You seek Him with your whole heart. It's like, okay, I'm seeking Him with my whole heart this week for this sermon. So, you know, my wife got in a car wreck Wednesday, but, you know, Wednesday night we're here praying. All right, Thursday we're looking at cars, and in between, you know, I'm trying to study, right? I'm thinking about it all the time. I'm up till 4 o'clock in the morning, all that. I'm talking with my friend about it. We're talking about what's going on tonight. It's our heart. We're thinking about it for the rest of the day. I can't wait to get up there and give God's word. Yeah. Wholehearted. It's like that's the thing that's on my mind now because we don't, I mean, I'm thinking of God, but you get my point. You have something that you need, you have to have, so your whole heart is bent towards that. Your job, your life, your wife, you get your kids involved in it, you get whatever happens. We're trying to move, you know, some people here. I'm trying to move my daughter from Oklahoma and my parents from the other side of the state and, you know, my other parents into another room and all that. And so my mind is about that, right? Does anybody hear me? Psalm 119:58. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. He has promised to give you this wisdom. He's promised to give you the knowledge of God, the fear of the Lord. Psalm 119:145. With my whole heart, I cry. Answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. Looks just like verse 3. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. But if you look at the context there, God crushes you to help you focus on Him alone as your source. I mean, it's true as a standalone anyway. But what's He got to do to get you to want it bad enough? The fear of the Lord is a good thing. Psalm 33:18 says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His steadfast love." There's a clue there. Psalm 103:11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love towards those who fear Him. Psalm 145:19, He fulfills the dire desire of those who fear Him. He also hears their cry and saves them. I got to say that one again. He fulfills the desire of those who fear Him. He cries. He hears their cry and saves them. So what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is a repentant, reverent, submissive sense of awe. It's a knowledge that you are in His presence. It's a humbly bowing your knee in worship. It's knowing God is God. Proverbs 1:7. It's sort of the thesis for the whole book. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Proverbs 16:6. By the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. Fearing God is the key to overcoming other fears in your life. Straight up, fearing God is how you overcome the other fears. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts the Lord is safe. I have something, I got to say it, something money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, death can't stop, the devil can't touch. Why would I fear men? I can be startled, I can be frightened, but not the ultimate fear. Because only the one that can cast my soul into hell is the one I fear. And He's already written my check for heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of God. I'm almost done. How bad do you want it? The knowledge of God is knowing God and knowing what God knows. Jeremiah 9:23-24 says this, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." Can you really say God is good all the time? All the time God is good. Even when things are good, God is good. And even when things are bad, God is good. And really mean it? Or is it just platitudes? Right? How many times are you going to have to preach Romans 8:28 to yourself every morning, Galatians 2:20, yourself in the morning, and not live it out and not have it really make an effect on your life? Just getting in your head is not enough. You've got to do what it says in this passage. If, then. But it's incredible. Read the rest of the chapter. Look at it. Look, everything that you want from God, well, is God. Everything that you need for life and godliness is in His Word. It is sufficient. But you don't just get verses. You've got to get God. And all that treasure is out there just waiting for you. Waiting for you. Imagine if God came down and said, "Okay, you're going to be a realtor. And you are going to sell 30 houses this month. Big million-dollar houses. And you're going to be able to retire. And here it is, day 28, and you've sold none. But you know God, you know His promise, you know it's a rigged game, baby, if you do what He asks you to do." Right? You'd be out there from morning. You'd be rude. You'd be knocking on doors. You'd be doing whatever it takes. You would be the ultimate salesman. Why? Because you believe in the promise. You believe that those 30 houses are out there. You know it. The treasure of God, knowing God, it's out there. The question is, how bad do you want it? Heavenly Father, in this moment, I'm sure that our hearts are stirred and that we want it. I'm asking that you would remind us what it takes to keep it. It's all your grace, and you're the one that keeps us, but you tell us to keep ourselves in the love of God and our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And I know, Lord, that your Spirit empowers and energizes us to keep at it. Help us to have that tenacity and that integrity, and that when we would see that we want that last French fry, I don't know, Lord, whatever it is, whatever we find, let it be a ring in our ears. Seek me like this. We see somebody really hungry for it, a sports person or anything, Lord, that we would be reminded, seek me like this, and you'll find a greater treasure than men and this earth can offer. And a way through the darkness with my marvelous light, because you've called us into it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.